Welcome to the Bull Gap Journal here in the Radio Alabama studios. Robert Holmes here. Some of you know me as Bob. Proudly born and raised in Alabama, a veteran, community citizen, and you're joining us on the Bull Gap Journal where we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. This morning, we have a special guest with us, Mr. Jeff Lynn. Jeff's the president of the Central Alabama Community College. Jeff, welcome. We're excited to have you here with me.
Thank you so much, Bob, for having me on.
You bet. Today, we're going to talk about the college and Jeff's role as the president. And then we're going to move and talk about Jeff's leadership as a person, as an individual, his life, and his values. Now, a lot of you are familiar with Central Alabama Community College, or CAC as we know it around here. It's a premier community college with leading-edge technical career training, two-year programs, degree programs to help folks step ahead with a four-year degree
right.
or step into a profession.
Absolutely.
And these prepare folks all over for their next step in life, whether it's the tech training or their degree programs. CAC's footprint is all over Central Alabama, four campuses, and
That's right.
Can talk about, I got the number right, four.
Absolutely.
That's Alexander City, Talladega, Childersburg, and Prattville.
Yes, sir.
Have you got another one on the way?
No, sir.
All right. Well, soon.
we got to get those running like I want them first.
Yeah, I gotcha. And CAC has a very healthy offering of not only the academic and technical training programs, but extracurricular activities and sports.
Absolutely.
Community involvement. So Absolutely. With that intro, Jeff, tell me what I left out. What did I miss?
Well, so thank you so much, Bob, again, for letting us come on and talk about Central Alabama Community College. We're very fortunate to be here and to serve our students and our citizens. And so we really want to focus and get that community college name into the community and welcome our community on the campus as well. But first, we need to make sure that we're doing the right thing for all of our students. And part of doing that is we need to really understand what our business and industry needs. And so I'm very focused on occupational forecasting, meeting with business and industry and finding out what their needs are and making sure that we have those programs available for our students to get them engaged into the program.
Outstanding.
And I think that's critical. You know, 85% of the new jobs created are done by existing industries. So we got to focus on them. We certainly want to be aspirational and bring in new industry sectors and diversify industry sectors that we have throughout our region, but we've got to take care of our companies first. And 101 is the best way to do it. Sit down and talk, and we have to be really good active listeners at CAC and then deliver results.
That's great. Active listening. That is so important today.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Well, you don't want to listen to just respond. You've got to make sure that you've got some action in there and that you got some really good results.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just going to be breezed over by the next person.
So as we talk about this, I think for many folks who are joining us here to listen, beginning to present a more of an unorthodox understanding or non-traditional understanding of academic education and how it meets the community to help build the community, build the students, build families, build industry, build, economies. So this is, in a sense, for some folks, will be a new way of looking at education. So
absolutely. I think that if you look at every dollar invested in CAC, you get a $7 return. We just had an economic impact, and our impact in our region's almost $80 million.
I saw that.
And that's just for 1 year. And so I really believe that we're an economic engine and that's what we need to do is continue to do that. If you want to go to a four-year school and get your four-year degree, master's, doctorate, or whatever, we need to provide programs for that. If you want to go into the workforce, we need to have short-term, long-term programs to get you a job with a really good wage locally.
Yeah, I saw that that news release about a week ago.
Absolutely.
On that study that showed the economic impact that Central Alabama Community College
Absolutely.
Has. And the number on that again was what about?
Almost $80 million. Yeah. Wow. So in statewide, it's $6.6 billion.
Yeah, for all of the
Yes, sir. All the 24 colleges.
So that is a tremendous impact in terms of economic development as well as educational development
Absolutely.
As it builds our communities. Now, And, you know, I had said earlier, and I've talked to you about, you're on the leading edge of some technical training areas. Can you tell us a little bit about, I don't want to get into that. I want you to explain because it was pretty exciting stuff
absolutely.
When we talked about it.
Well, you know, and I talked about aspirational companies, but I also talked mm-hmm. about taking care of our existing industries. But we have to be on the leading edge of some programs that are out there. So I try to stay in tune with what the needs are out there globally. Quite frankly, and because if we don't take care of our companies and help them grow and expand and bring new technologies, then we're not doing our job. And so last year I was able to sign a deal with Intel to start teaching artificial intelligence or AI. AI is everywhere. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, people don't realize that it's in their car, it's in their phone, it's in their...
Every time you pick up this right here, you're getting artificial intelligence fed to you.
Absolutely.
So this is huge. Okay.
And so we're the first two-year, four-year college in the state of Alabama to offer it. So if you look at Intel's map of the colleges, it's got one dot in the middle of in central Alabama, and that's Central Alabama Community College.
Outstanding.
And so... So then you find, hey, where do I find an instructor for that? Well, my instructor, my lead instructor, actually heads up cyber for Maxwell Air Force. So he's still doing service. We're hoping that he'll retire soon and come on full time with
that. So you can snag him into the herd.
Yeah, we've already teed that up pretty nicely. And what a great person. And so he knows a lot about AI and cyber. So artificial intelligence, once we announced that we were going to do that, it's amazing to me that traditional manufacturing companies started coming to me and saying, hey, you know, our maintenance people need that for predictive maintenance, for planned maintenance, for other type of closed loop system processes. And so we're very interested in getting our people trained on that as well. And so we may be a hub for companies flying in their maintenance people going through that training as a week at a time and then flying back to Missouri or Michigan or wherever they are. And so we've got to continue to be the leading edge on that. And so tied into that would be some manufacturing 4.0. And so we're the first college to buy some new manufacturing 4.0 equipment where it's got MES systems embedded into it. It's got sensors. It's how you can manage cyber within a SCADA system that controls a lot of different inputs and outputs.
Right.
You know, you would be shocked to know the companies that have been hacked and shut down in central Alabama.
it's all around us. And, you know, absolutely. To think that it's in Atlanta or New York or elsewhere, yeah. No, it's here.
That's right. Yeah. And some have changed, their input, their websites and stuff like that to go around them because they don't want to pay, you know, that ransomware and
right.
stuff like that. So our job is to prepare those students to go in to be able to stop those from happening, isolate them and eliminate them. And so your typical maintenance worker out there, the mechatronics person, is really, really learning a lot of technologies that they never had to, but
sure.
now they're forced to, quite frankly.
Well, that's where manufacturing is going. And so right. as we have these, what I would call heavy industrial or manufacturing lines of business or lines of commerce, now they've got to be accompanied by either these IT lines or softer lines of service to support that so that everything flows together the way it needs to.
That's
flow.
Right. That's right.
And this is exciting to me because, you know, here in central Alabama, there is such a grand base of industry and manufacturing plants here. So what's exciting to me is, especially for the young people and the families that you're reaching out to, is giving these young kids that chance here, right here at home, to get on the leading edge of IT, of cyber security.
Absolutely.
And then as we move into, and everybody's advertising that this movement for 5G networks, well, once all of that abounds, even in a rural area, 5G technologies is going to speed up the flow of information, is going to speed up, what we do in manufacturing, industry, and education, and you're on the leading edge of that.
Well,
this is amazing to me.
Well, so. Thank you. We're hoping to help, bring in new types of jobs, aspirational jobs into
right.
the area. With the technologies that we can teach our students.
Good. And that's important for community development.
Absolutely.
Because young people don't necessarily want to go chase a job in Atlanta or Nashville, Tennessee. Some do, some don't, but they want to stay here at home. But they also know that maybe they're not cut out for lines of industry or manufacturing or other things, but they are excited about information and information they technologies are. And they cyber. Are. So in my heart, for several years, I've looked and said, man, we've got to get on that, and you're there right. helping us lead to that edge.
Well,
so,
thank you. We're trying.
Yeah. So now I'm going to change gears. I mean, we could go on and talk about CAC for
sure.
For the rest of the morning, but I want to focus now on Jeff Lynn as a leader, and I'm going to use this term, a barrier buster, a leader and barrier buster, okay? Because I looked at Jeff's resume about 2 years ago when Jeff came to the college, I looked at his resume, and I had to read it twice because I said, this is not a traditional college president resume.
No, it's not, no.
Atypical. And I salute you.
Oh, thank you.
And Jeff and I've talked about this, so he knows that I'm very genuine when I say this is great because it's not traditional. So you came to CAC in June of 2020 as the interim, and then a year later you were appointed to be the president.
That's right. I came in as acting for about a month, and then became interim, and then that rolled into full time. I just fell in love where we could take CAC, quite frankly.
Right.
And so now we're on this mission to make it that level.
Good.
And so every day we have to wake up and get better than we did the day before.
Outstanding.
So and achieve our goals and objectives and really hire great people, you know, get the right people on the bus.
Right.
So, and in the right seats and take off and focus on students in the community.
So that is a mindset that you brought with you. So I want to talk about this non-traditional path of Jeff Lynn.
Sure.
So can you just tell us about the couple of decades that it took to, and I'm going to let you tell your story where you started and how you ended up being the president of a community college.
Well, like you, I was born and raised in Alabama and worked my way through college. So I was in West Point Pepperell working there, going to college, and then did some hospitality industry. And then I moved to Atlanta after I graduated, and I was in medical device manufacturing for a while. And we had an operation in Germany that we wanted to move to the United States. And we actually built a plant, a really high-tech plant in North Atlanta. So I was heavily involved in that. We used the state of Georgia to help us do that. They developed our training programs, et cetera, and that program was called Georgia Quick Start. So I used them for about 3 years. And then they called me up one day, said, hey, we would like for you to come work for the state of Georgia and help us recruit companies and do workforce for them. And I'm said, okay, let's do it, you know, cause I'm always looking at the next step and some fun things to do and a challenge. And it was a challenge. And I think I mentioned to you one day, the first day about 5:30 that day, I had an idea, walked down the hall to talk to somebody and nobody was there. So I'm like, whoa, let me get adjusted to government, you know? So, cause I quite wasn't used to that. And, but I was, not me, but I was part of teams that we attracted and recruited about 1,000 companies over 10 years to Georgia. Traveled almost all the countries you can imagine where there's industries that we were bringing there. Got a really great opportunity to improve what I was doing, learn. I think we have to learn every day. If we don't, then I think then you know we've got a problem. We also have to be very, very humble. We have to get better every day. We have to do whatever it takes to get things done.
Absolutely.
And to lead people, I think you really need to show that and lead by example, quite frankly.
Right. Well, you are actually now beginning to outline some of those things that we're going to talk about that are valuable for leaders. And I really appreciate you bringing those things up because those are the elements of leadership
Absolutely.
That are so important, whether it's a community college, whether it's an industry.
Absolutely.
Commerce or, you know, in any organization or community. So
I agree.
Those are great. So, so I think you can look at, why I'm calling, Jeff a barrier buster, because it was not a traditional path.
No.
Actually you understood in my mind, you understood the needs of industry, the needs of communities, mm-hmm. The needs of commerce, and where the workforce development piece of that fit in. So whoever brought you along to be where you are now, I think, did something right.
Oh, that's very kind. Actually, our current chancellor recruited me back from, and so real quickly, we were doing a lot of things. I was on advisory committees for the two-year colleges in Georgia. And so we were buying very sophisticated equipment to train our maintenance people because we couldn't find those people. The same problem exists today. And that was back in the mid-'80s, early 80s. And then Governor Jindal got elected in Louisiana, and they had benchmarked our program in Georgia and wanted to start a program from scratch. And so I got a rare opportunity to go and build something from scratch. And so I took a leap of faith.
That's always fun.
It was, you know,
it's a challenge.
Gut-wrenching. Yeah. Gut-wrenching sometimes, but, you know, with a lot of work, a lot of focus. My wife was so kind to let me work bazillion hours a week to get it going. And I had a great team of folks, and we all focused on taking care of the companies. And so we had a great run at that. I was in Louisiana for about 8 years. After 15 months, we became number one in the nation for workforce development. And we started changing the economy in Louisiana in a very, very positive way.
Great.
Governor Jindal was having to do some generational changes that were not good. You know, I mean, they were good changes, but the previous generations had just had site selectors that would skip over and go straight to Texas and look at properties and opportunities. And so we were very innovative. We were able to meet with a lot of IT companies. Example, IBM, we went to them. They weren't even looking at Louisiana.
Right.
We went to them with proposals about bringing IT centers there, and they did it. And they were like, holy cow, how did y'all come up with that? And it's like, well, we're just thinking about your success. And so if you start thinking about companies in a C-suite and decisions that they have to make, and you go and give them ideas and, you know, share those ideas, and you show that drive, energy, and passion of how they can be successful there, it opens Pandora's box.
So having been down that road in terms of economic development, and now you wear the hat of an educator in a community college and technical training environment, it permits you to get in the door with some credentials to talk to industry business leaders, and you know what you're talking about. That's important.
Well, it is. I mean, they can pick it up in a nanosecond, right?
Of course.
They know
authenticity.
Absolutely. And you have to speak their language so you can get their respect.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a break here. Jeff Lynn, president of Central Alabama Community College, is the guest this morning. We've talked about the college, and we've talked about Jeff's non-traditional path to get there. When we come back, we're going to focus on leadership and Jeff's view of what's important to be a leader. So stand by, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Okay, welcome back to the Bull Gap Journal. We have Mr. Jeff Lynn, the president of Central Alabama Community College. In the first segment, we talked about the college. We talked about Jeff's role as a non-traditional barrier buster leader who's bringing so much right now to Central Alabama. So, Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you.
On this second segment.
Thank you again, Bob.
No, thank you. And what we're going to do now is drill down into, we're going to talk just a little bit about the college in terms of Jeff being the senior executor there and the leader. And we're going to start with, for me personally, I think that leaders must articulate and share a vision so that people can understand and then follow. So tell me a little bit about your vision for the college, and then we're going to go into some leadership discussion.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, we need to focus on the student, bar none. And so it's got to be the very best experience that they can have while they're at CAC, whether they're going on to a four-year school or going straight to the workforce. And so in doing that, we need to make sure we're teaching the best we possibly can, that we have the best equipment or instruction technology to use for that, and so we're focused on that as well. Facilities are something that It keeps me up at night, quite frankly. I'm working on major capital campaigns right now to renovate all of our campuses that we have, because they need to be spot on. And so that's a big part of what I'm doing right now too. So and then making sure that we have the right people, and making sure that those people are focused, making sure those people are appreciated, make sure those people have an open door policy. I want to hear from everyone that works at CAC or is an adjunct at CAC or the community. So I have a major open door policy, which kind of freaks a lot of people out in the education world.
And, yeah.
You know, but I'm bringing a business approach to the college. And so I started training people when I first got there about cash flow. Cash flow is critical. We have the lowest tuition rate in the state. We want to maintain that because a lot of our students that we serve can't afford to go and pay a lot of tuition at colleges that are around the state. So we're strictly wanting to stay there. Our board of trustees are phenomenal. They want to make sure that we stay at that level. Our chancellor is phenomenal about making sure that we provide affordable education for our students. And so I think people need to understand that we don't just get a bazillion dollars and we can do whatever we want to. We get a percentage of what we bring in,
right,
but we have to earn the other. And so it's got to be the very best experience that. And on top of that, I think we need to open up our communities or our campuses to our communities as well. And in the past, I don't think we've done a really good job. So I'm really focusing on getting our communities on the campus, servicing all ages. You know, now we've got basketball teams coming on the campus. They haven't had a basketball game in the gym in probably 8 or 9 yeah. years. So we hosted a regional playoff for basketball. I've got a nutrition center where we have senior citizens coming in to eat.
So I mean, you're servicing the community, not in terms of of community outreach and social
Absolutely.
Outreach to and then make things happen.
Yeah, yep, and then good. I need to touch on adult ed. Adult ed is critical to the state of Alabama and right. in all states. Quite frankly, we have about 400,000 people in our state that qualify for adult ed for one reason or another. They just never got their degree.
Right.
And so once we get that for them, we help them get through that.
And then take them to another level if they want to go there.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So those are some of the things we're focused
on. So what I'm hearing in terms of vision is excellence and access.
And continuous improvement.
For continuous improvement in
daily.
Terms of education that's going to develop our young people, our old people, and our communities, our business, and our industry. But it's all about excellence. That's
Absolutely.
What I'm hearing there. Your
yeah.
vision is excellence.
Yeah, we have to strive for excellence on a daily basis.
Yeah. So now let's go to leadership. What you view, and you keyed on some of those these attributes that I would call, you know, quality or value attributes that leaders have in the first segment. Mm-hmm. What is it you see important when you either look at yourself or look at others or, you know, somebody that you want to bring on staff? What's important? What do you look for in a leader?
Well, first of all, I think you need to lead by example. So
okay.
I think that, quite frankly, and you got to be honest, trustworthy. You got to be open-minded, willing to change. Most adults don't like to change. I love change. That may be a little wacky, but I love change.
No.
And stay focused, true to the heart, and keep that focus on people. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Outstanding. Yep.
You know, I think that people sometimes get in a leadership role and, you know, things go out of kilter. I'm sure you've seen it, you know. Okay. And so you want to do things. I think the first week I kind of freaked out some people when I'm taking my trash down the hall. You know, it's
sure.
right in the middle of COVID. And so I'm taking my trash down. Oh, my God, the president's dumping his own trash. Well, that's what I do, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's no job that's too small for me to do. I try to be there the first one on the campus every morning. I'm not always the last to leave, but I'm there early. Honestly, it gives me a little quiet time to get a lot of things caught up, but it also allows me to talk to people and get things going. So I think, you know, really staying focused on what we're there for, and a lot of people lose sight of that. And, you know, I keep talking about it, but continuous improvement, even your best day, tomorrow, get up and get better. And we all can do that. And I believe in stretch goals. Stretch goals will allow you to do a lot more than you really think you can do.
That's right. And you push the envelope.
And you learn from it.
Yeah. So you look for authenticity and trust, you know, a trustworthy person.
Absolutely.
A person who leads by example. A person who has the humility to do even, you know, the lower jobs, and you know, that begins to transcend an organization. It begins,
it does.
You know, it really builds culture that's got to start at the top, but it transcends the entire organization.
It does. I had a boss when I was at medical device manufacturing. Mm-hmm. He was a retired 3-star general, and he told me, he said, Jeff, they tell you not to sweat the small stuff, but I'm telling you, sweat it. And so I do. And then I look at that as a leader from other people as well. So, and if you do that, you're making sure that your presence or what you're doing for that student or that community is at the very best.
Right. Good. So if we boiled it all down to one, you know, out of the dozens of things that we can say are important, what do you look at as the most valuable attribute for a leader and their character development to lead people?
I think it's trust.
Trust.
I think trust is critical. I think, you know, they trust me to make sure we have a safe campus. They trust me to make sure we have the best instructors, the best staff, the best business office, et cetera. So I think trust is critical. But, you know, I was a good Boy Scout, so there's a lot of other things.
I've had this discussion with people because that, you know, we'll go into the list of a dozen things, and I said that those are all good. Cannot ignore any of them. But at the end of the day, when you begin to build your mark,
that's right.
There's going to be one thing, and I agree. I think trust is huge.
Yeah.
You know, Stephen Covey wrote the book over a decade ago, The Speed of Trust.
That's right.
And what it can do to an organization, and as the leader, if your people do not trust you, and then the other piece of that is if you as the leader have got to trust them.
That's right.
So then it becomes, it then becomes an unstoppable dynamic.
That's right.
In an organization.
And that opens up all those other valuable things.
Absolutely.
Communication, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and you bring all of those along, but at the end of the day, I've always sort of said, what's the one?
You're right.
The one tool you've got that you can sort of magnify and make things happen. So, all right, we're going to, one last question here. Lessons learned, mistakes made, whatever. What might you share to a young leader that's listening in?
Well, you know, I think you have to take risk, somewhat calculated, but you have to take risk. You have to be willing to make mistakes. And I tell our team, I'm like, you're going to make mistakes, but probably not as many as I do. So go do them, and you're going to learn from them. And I think that be aggressive, be innovative, and continuously learn, but provide the best service possible for the student and that community.
Great. I'm writing that one down, by the way.
You already have that in your mind. I know you.
Hey, Jeff, thanks. I really appreciate your taking the time to join in with us and talk about this.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Bob. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm in your debt here.
So, oh. Yeah.
Okay, folks, thanks for joining us on the Bull Gap Journal in the studio where we do interviews. Today we interviewed Mr. Jeff Lynn, the president of Central Alabama Community College, as he shared his thoughts about the college, about leadership, and about life. And that's what we talk about here on the Bull Gap. It's about life, leadership, and common sense. If you like what you've heard, go to radioalabama.net/bullgap, and you can hear more, see more, and learn more about the Bull Gap Journal. Thanks a lot.